Well, this morning we are continuing in the series of messages on the life that God rewards. We know that anytime we're learning a new principle, a new concept, anytime we're trying to apply a new scripture into our lives, there is a keyhole principle that we need to remember that many times when we first begin, our understanding is like a little child looking through the keyhole of a door. And their view is very limited because of the size of that keyhole. And that's what happens to us when we're trying to apply a new concept, a new principle, maybe a new scripture into our lives. We're very limited in our understanding when in all actuality, God wants us to experience the vastness of what He desires in our lives. We've learned that God will reward those individuals that seek Him, those individuals that submit to authority, those individuals that surrender their lives to Him, that God rewards the life of those that sacrifice, those that truly suffer for the cause of the kingdom, for those that will serve Him, and those that share of their prosperities. That God rewards the life of those individuals that do those things. We also have seen in this series God's expectations, that God has a vested interest in us, in that He has given us our talents, He's given us spiritual gifts, He's given us our personality, and then He's been teaching us throughout our life. So God wants what's best for us because He has a vested interest in us. And He wants to work in our lives and through our lives to accomplish His kingdom's purpose so that we can truly be the individuals that He has created us to be. We've also seen the servant's heart, where the servant has no will whatsoever. The servant works without complaining. The servant works for no thanks for themselves. And they do that because they know that they are an unprofitable servant. We have to realize that God did not save us because of who we are, or because of our last name, or because of our heritage. God did not save us because of where we live. God did not save us because of what we can bring to the table for Him. No, God saved us because of His tremendous love for us, in that He wants what's best for us because He has that vested interest in our lives. So the servant works without any will and without complaining and for no thanks, knowing that he's an unprofitable servant. Well, last week, we looked at understanding God's will, that we cannot understand God's will with any kind of human emotion or human logic, human reasoning, but we understand God because of relational experiences that we have with Him. Many times I talk to individuals that maybe have been out of church for a while, and they say, well, it's like God closed the door. It's like God left. When in all actuality, it was us that left, amen? It's us that walked away from Him because He's still in the same place. He's still on His throne. So many times individuals will feel like God is distant from them, because they're not having that relational experience. And the way we understand God's will is through that relational experience as we continually trust Him every moment of every day. And then we get to see God doing God-sized things because we have trusted Him to be who He is. Today we're going to look at the two paths. We've all been on the road and trying to find someplace, and whether we're using GPS. The other day when we went to the hospital, they were working on 64, and they rerouted us through East St. Louis, and they had us going all over the place, and they brought us back up onto I-55. It was like, wait a minute, this just cannot be right. And so we were trusting in that GPS, and it reminds me many times of when we have to trust God. And many times we try to trust Him, and we use our logic, we use our emotions, and we say, this can't be right, God. Why am I experiencing all of these difficulties if I'm doing your will? We have to remember throughout the Word that just because we're doing His will does not mean we're not going to have chaos. It doesn't mean we're not going to have problems. He told His disciples to get in the boat and to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And midway, a storm blows up against them. See, Satan will always hinder our progress. Amen? Satan will always hold us back from being where God wants us to be. So, the circumstances of life cannot mandate whether we're in the will of God or not. See, that's using our logic, our emotion. But when we truly understand God relationally, we understand that many, many times the road is not the easiest. The road is not the smoothest. The road is not the widest. Many times when we're looking at the path that God has chosen for us, we believe it's too narrow. And so we look for a different path that may be easier, that may not have all the bumps that this path has. As Jesus was preaching the greatest sermon that's ever been preached, He was preaching to His disciples. There was a multitude of other people there, and of course He wanted more to follow Him. But more than that, He was teaching them how to walk with God. How to live their lives in a way so that after their lives are over with, when they are at the end of their life, they can hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." See, that's what we all desire, I believe. But many times when we look at this particular passage, we look at it in the light of salvation only. And see, for us to do that, we do an injustice to the Word of God. Jesus was teaching, trying to draw more followers to Him, but more than that, He was trying to teach His followers how they should live their lives. And that it's not an easy road. It's not the easiest route. It's not the smoothest path. So Jesus is trying to teach His followers how they should examine their own lives. Turn with me this morning to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And we will join Jesus as He is preaching to His disciples and the multitude that's gathered around Him on this tremendous sermon that He preached, which is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning now in verse 12. It starts with the golden rule. Do you think the golden rule would ever get you to heaven? Probably not. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you that little Kinsley could go and through the profession of her faith that she might be able to follow Jesus in scriptural baptism today. Father, I am so pleased that you have been working in her life and in the life of her family. Thank you for your goodness and for your tremendous mercy. And Father, we thank you for all that you've been doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you are doing a great work, but many times we see the road that we're on, and it appears to be bumpy. It appears to have potholes in it. It appears to be a road less traveled. And Father God, we pray that we might see today what you are doing in our lives and through our lives to accomplish your kingdom's purpose. Help us to understand that this is not just a salvation message, but Lord, it goes much deeper than that. That you want to develop us as individuals so that someday we might hear you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Bless us today, Father, with understanding. Give us insight into your word, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. The first thing I believe we need to see are the gates. The gates. Now, whenever we look at the gates, we have an image of a gate that holds cattle in or keeps cattle out of a certain area. A gate that you would open and a gate that you would close. And that's an improper concept of what Jesus is talking about. A gate in Middle Eastern culture is simply an access point. It's an access point to a road or to a passageway. It's merely an access point. Many times when you view movies that are based in the Middle Eastern culture, they will refer to gates. And if you have ever watched the movie 300 and the Spartans held off the hordes at the gate, well, there wasn't a gate there. It was an access leading to Sparta. So a gate in the Word of God is referred to as an access. So when we look at the gates, we see that it is a narrow access or a wide access. And many times we think of these access points as being side by side so that we can see the narrow access or the wide access. When in all actuality, they're not side by side. They're at opposite ends of the spectrum. See, there is a perceived problem. And that perceived problem is this. We perceive that the gate is, the access point is too narrow. It's hard to find. It's like hidden or something. When in all actuality, it's not. See, whenever you look at the access to any place, passageway, road, you're wanting to be able to make that transition. You're wanting to take that route. And so you're looking for that access, just like off of an interstate. It's an exit onto another interstate. People believe and perceive that it's so narrow that they can't find it. What they're saying is, God, you are trying to stump me. You're trying to make it difficult for me. This is too hard. I can't do that. I can't find this access point. Do you truly believe that God wants to stump you or wants to baffle you? No. Do you believe that God wants you to understand? Yes. But see, it's not there for our understanding. It's there for our, so we can focus. Because when we focus on the access that's so narrow, we're able then to pass through that access as we're supposed to. When we look at that gate, we see that many times one is narrow and the other is wide. Have you ever tried to round up horses or sheep or cattle into a corral? Guess what you do? You have a wide access point and it narrows down to a corral. And when the horses or the sheep or the cattle are going towards that corral, they don't sense any danger whatsoever, because that access point is so wide, they don't think anything else about it. They're willing to go forward because they don't see the danger. And that's the way the world is with us. All of these things are good for us. The world knows how to speak to our brains and our minds and our spirit. Why, do you know when you go to Burger King, you can have it your way? Right away? There you go. There are so many different slogans out there, all aimed at our psyche, because they're using the wide gate concept. Problem is, there's two posts on each access. And the two posts frame the opening of that access. I believe one post, if you were to name it, would be called humility. And the other post would be sorrow for sin. And those posts are so close together. They're there for a reason. So that we have to enter in one by one. With no baggage, no self-righteousness. We have to enter in seeking God's will. We have to enter in humility. As a young boy growing up on the farm, we had horses and mules and pigs and cattle and all the animals. And Dad would let the white mules out. They were pony mules. They were only 42 inches at the shoulder. He'd let them out and let them graze in the front yard, because mules are smart. They truly are. It was hard for us to keep them in. And we would go out, and one mule would be on one side of the fence and one mule would be on the other side of the fence. And Dad got the harebrained idea that he would fix that so that they couldn't jump over the fence, and he'd tie their heads together. He had a strap about that long, tied their heads together. And so, you know, that would just be enough to keep them from being able, he thought, to jump over the fence. Well, we'd go out after lunch, and one would be on one side of the fence, and one would be on the other side of the fence, and their heads are still tied together. And it was like, Dad, do you want me to fix that? He says, no, she jumped over. She'll either jump back or the other one will jump over too. But he would let them out in the front yard and let them graze. Because they were smart. They didn't want to go down the road, really. The grass in the ditch wasn't near as good as the grass in the front yard. Besides, it fertilized the front yard too. It all worked for good. Well, when it was time to feed the horses, sometimes the mules would come in, sometimes they wouldn't. Because they'd been out in the front yard eating grass all day long. And so we'd feed the horses, and then we might have to go out and chase them in, or we would ride them in. We'd just throw a leg around them and grab a hold of that tuft of mane, and we'd just ride them in. But you had to jump off before they went in the barn. At least that was your attempt. And if they were going too fast, you just kind of held on and tucked your legs, because every time they went to go in the barn, they'd swipe by the post, and it hit you right on the leg, and it'd knock you off. That's the way it is. With the narrow access, humility, sorrow for sin, by entering in, nothing is allowed to come in that takes away from the glory of God. Nothing is allowed. We can't come in our own self-righteousness. That self-righteousness isn't allowed. We have to enter in humility. We have to also see that the access is one by one. So that we come in and we realize that by coming in that we are starting our journey. It's not the end of the journey, it's the start of our journey. How many times have we seen someone come and make a profession of faith, and later they come and they get wet in the baptistry, and then you don't ever see them again, amen? They thought that was the end of their journey. No, that's the beginning of their journey. And we mistake that. We enter in that narrow access, one by one. Why? Because we're all going to stand before God. And no one is going to stand there with us. No one is going to be there and give us the answers. Because we're all going to have to give an account of our lives for the good things and the bad things, the obedience and the disobedience. See, we have 3 children and now 9 grandchildren. And there is not one thing that my children or grandchildren can do that can change the fact that my DNA is running in and through their veins. No amount of obedience or disobedience is going to change that. Jesus was not merely talking to his disciples who were already his followers. He was not talking over their heads trying to get more. He was trying to teach them how they needed to live their lives, that they needed to live their lives with attention and focus rather than living their lives haphazardly. As we're driving back from First Baptist Church in Maryville this morning, every place we drove by, someone's out mowing their lawn. Someone's out washing their car. Someone's out taking a jog. Someone's out letting their dog walk them. They do that. I mean, the dog's out front walking the master. Living their lives haphazardly. You can look around the room and see who's not here today.
I'm here.
That's right, you are. Jesus is teaching his disciples how to live their lives so that they might be able to stand before God and hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Well, not only should we see the 2 gates, we need to see the 2 roads. The road is merely a passageway. It's a path. One road is narrow, and the other road is really wide. When I was trying to teach Danielle how to ride a bicycle, I thought the best thing was for her to learn in a parking lot that was empty. You know, there's nothing there for her to run into, amen? She can go any way she wants to go, and she can learn to ride her bicycle. And it wasn't until I heard her say, "Oh, Daddy, the post, the post." There's a post sticking up by itself, clear across the parking lot. It's there all by itself, and she's looking at the post. And she says, "Daddy, the post." I said, "Don't worry about the post. Just ride your bicycle around in the parking lot. It's big. You can ride all over the parking lot. There's nothing for you to run into. But, Daddy, the post. The post." I said, "Don't ride over by the post." What did she do? Rode over to the post. What did she do? Ran right into the post. She had the whole parking lot to ride in. But she had to ride over to the post. Why? Because that's where her focus was. That's where her focus was. See, there is a perceived problem. And that perceived problem is that the narrow path, the narrow road, is too narrow. It's like a tightrope. It's so narrow that you can't keep your balance. You can't walk because it is so narrow. You just can't hardly put one foot in front of the other. It's so narrow. And it's really hard to keep your path, when in all actuality, that path is wide enough to give you the balance that you need. But the path is narrow enough to keep our focus where it needs to be. I hope you heard that. See, the wide path allows you to swerve and allows you to go every which way you want to go. But the narrow path is there, wide enough to give you balance, but narrow enough to give you focus. So that you can focus. So that you can focus on the things that are lofty, the things that have value, the things that have virtue, so that we can understand what God is trying to do in our lives. It's not like walking a tightrope. No. You suppose God wants you to get to your destination? Absolutely. God doesn't want to trick you. God doesn't want to baffle you. God wants you to be so focused that you can walk the path that He's chosen for you. That's why it's a narrow path. We don't have to look around. Remember when Peter was in the boat and the Lord came to him and he said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me to come." And the Lord said, "Come." Peter, he jumps out of the boat and he starts walking on the water and it's like, woohoo! But what did Peter do? He lost his focus. He started looking at all the things around him because the waves were boisterous. And he thought, "There's no way I can do all of this." And he began to sink. And as he began to sink, he said three words, "Lord, save me!" And Jesus reached out and grabbed him by the hand. When we look at the path, the road, it's there for a purpose. But there is an attraction and a distraction. The attraction is for us to be on the wide road. Why? Because that's where everybody's going. Amen? That's where everybody's out mowing their lawn. Why am I going to church? Everybody's washing their car. Lord knows my pickup needs to be washed. But everybody's doing that. Chances are, if everybody's going, that's not where I need to go. I need to go on the path that's least traveled, the one that's narrow, the one that is so narrow that it requires focus and attention. Lastly, we see the attention that is needed. When we look at that narrow path is going to have some obstacles, going to have some potholes, some bumps. There are going to be some distractions. But as long as we focus and keep our attention where it needs to be, then we can be successful. I learned as a young boy on the farm, Dad would give us a list of things that we needed to do. You need to do this and this and this and this and this. And I mean, it'd be 5, 6, 7 things. And if you didn't get them all done, he wasn't about to tell you again. No, because when Dad spoke, you need to listen. You need to give him your undivided attention. Because he's only going to tell you one time. So between my brother and I, we would normally look at each other and we'd try to remember portions of that. It was just easier for us. The amazing thing, and most of the time, we would get it right, but guess what? Some of the time we didn't. And it was during those times that we didn't, that I learned more about my dad. Hear me. We don't learn about God on the mountaintop. We learn about God in the valleys of life. We learn about God's care. We learn about God's comfort. We learn about God's love. We learn about how He guides us. We do that in the valleys of life, not on the mountaintops. It was amazing that God loved me so much that He would give me His Son and His Son as a sacrifice for me. It amazes me. Because of who I was, because of what I had done, that God would love me so much that He would give me His Son. Why? Some days I don't even understand it yet. When I speak with Dick Powell, one of my mentors from Warsaw, he said, Craig, you did most of your sinning before salvation. He says, I was saved at a young age of 8 and baptized. He said, I've done all my sinning under grace. And he says, the reason why, and he's older than I am, the reason why God has given me the wisdom that He has is because every time I make a mistake, He helps me understand Him just a little bit more. It requires more attention. And that's why the road is narrow. Jesus is talking to His followers as well as the multitude. But He's wanting His followers to know how they need to live their lives. And that they don't follow the crowd. They follow God. They don't take the easy way. They take the narrow way. Because it's the narrow way that allows us to focus so that we can truly be individuals that God rewards. We're going to have a song of invitation this morning. I believe that the Lord would have us to learn that true freedom is not simply doing what we like. Hear me. True freedom is not doing what we like, but liking what we ought. There's a big difference. If our worship team will come, we're going to have a song of invitation. Maybe you've been going down the path that a lot of others have been going down. You've been struggling. Maybe there are things in your life that you're wrestling with, and you'd simply like to have someone to pray with. Maybe you simply need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and start your journey. Whatever that is, you can come today. Let's all stand.